Well, glory. Well, happy Mother's Day to all you sweet mamas. I've been fortunate all my life to always be surrounded by sweet mamas. My mama, my pretty bride, my mother-in-law, and so many sweet mamas in the work of the kingdom. I don't know what a bad mama looks like. Amen. I've always been so richly blessed. We know that not everybody experienced the type of experiences that I had with my mothers and grandmothers and my bride and my daughter and all you that have been such like mothers to me. And we even got two girls that are mothers of the dogs, you know what I mean? And so we have grand dogs. Anybody else got grand dogs? How many of y'all had a big mama when y'all were little? Anybody had a big mama? How many got a big mama right now? And when I say big, I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going. Stephanie said, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Yeah.
We're trying to pick out names.
Yeah.
Y'all don't call me anything but big mama.
But, hey, look. See, I had a big mama. Yeah. I had a big mama. You know, most folk back in them generations had a big mama. And we had a big mama. And boy, I love big mama. I thought, well, Stephanie, that'd be a good mama. But grandma name for you said it ain't happening. It ain't happening. She said, if I was small as Miss Sadie, you can call me Big Mama. But no, you ain't calling me Big Mama. Boy, mamas love us when nobody else will. Amen. I'm telling you. Look and turn to Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 10. We'll just be a moment. We won't have any services this evening. If you notice up here, we got these for all the mamas that are here today. You're welcome to take one of these. We'd love for you to have it. It's just something that, you know, mamas are all planners. They're always investing. They're always nurturing. They're always growing. And we just wanted to say Happy Mother's Day and that we love you. And maybe this will be a little something for you to remember and to know that you're cared for, you thought about, you prayed over, you valued, you treasured. You are precious to us, and all the seed you have sown through the years and have cultivated and have harvested and have nurtured. And that cycle never ends in the sense that when you come out of motherhood, you're going into grandmotherhood and the things, dynamics change some, but you're still pouring into. That's just the nature of a mama. She's always pouring into. She's always thinking. I tell you, if it wasn't for our mamas, and most of you women know that, there'll be a lot less done with our children and grandchildren and fun things and great ideas of things, because mamas are always thinking about ways that they could bless their family and bless their kids and other people's kids and thoughtfulness. Like Miss Pat, she's always so thoughtful. She's always blessing other people. She blesses our kids and grandkids like they're their own grandkids. She remembers their birthdays. She knows what's going on special occasions, and she sends them cards. She just loves on them. Mothers do that. That's what mamas do. If it was left up to me and Jody, our kids would be in bad shape, wouldn't they, Jody?
Yes, sir.
They would. We'd just tell them to fend for themselves, huh? But mamas have a different nature about them. And God made us for that purpose and those reasons. But, you know, mama will love you when nobody else will. Mama will stand up for you when no one else will stand with you. Mama will. Proverbs chapter 10. We're in Proverbs right now. We're, of course, up to chapter number 12. There's plenty that we can pick up on and glean from, but I'm just going to read these first couple verses in chapter number 10 where it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father. And that you can also include in that a wise son not only makes a glad father, but he makes a glad mother as well. Wisdom rejoices in wisdom. And wisdom rejoices when your children walk in wisdom. And these statements, as we read in Proverbs, it's usually like this, that a wise son will make a glad father and mother. But a foolish son is the grief of his mother, and also the grief of who? The father as well. And what we want to do as fathers, of course, is to love our wives, that our wives can be all that God created them to be as mamas. I want Stephanie to be the absolute best, the peak of what she is, whether she's down or whether she's up, to be a mother to Lydia and Elizabeth and Lauren and Dory. We adopted Dory. Officially unofficial adoption, you know. She wrote all the agreements out, and we signed the paper that she's part of our family now. And so we've included her in. And our grandchildren, I want her to be able to just pour into them with liberty, with freedom, with unrestraint from my perspective. And I think one of the ways that is going to be most productive is when I love her well, when I give her that liberty to be able to do that. And a wise son makes a glad father. Now, and a glad mother. We would have to preface that. We talked a little bit about it. It's men in Sunday school. That is saying that we're talking about a wise mama and a wise daddy are glad when their children are wise. Amen? Because we know not everybody's wise. We know not everybody are fools. And fools don't rejoice in wisdom and don't rejoice in the wise, just like how the wise don't rejoice in foolishness. So we're talking about when they're glad because they are wise and they can recognize that wisdom in their children, in their sons and their daughters. And mamas, even when we make foolish mistakes and nobody else loves us and nobody else will stand with us, mamas have a way of just being there and standing with us. Old dads will want to knock them upside the head, put a belt on them, lock them up and punish them. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? But mamas are always trying to protect. They're trying to guard. They're trying to do their best. Not that they want them to run rampant and do crazy, foolish things, but they want them to be wise, and sometimes they think our abrasiveness isn't the wisest thing in that means of correction. And they'll stand with them even when everybody else stands against them. Mamas, now keep this in mind, mamas will pray over you when everybody else has forgotten you. A mama's going to pray over you when everybody else has forgotten you. I have this feeling at times that one day when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to have to give an account on how many times I didn't pray. Like, I didn't pray and invest the way that I probably should have. Y'all ever think like that? That one day there's going to, I mean, we're going to give an account, no doubt, of what we were led to do and what we were misled by. Without question, I'm thankful that my imperfections are covered in the perfection of Christ. But I'm still going to give account what I've done with what He's given me. But mamas are going to pray over their children when everybody else has forgotten them. I can remember a day when we started out in homeschooling. And we homeschooled specifically because we were involved in ministry in a way that was going to pull us out to go on the road and do things that we couldn't do right where we were at. And we would have to travel some. That meant that would either be me travel by myself and leave them at home, or we all travel together. So we foresaw that coming. So we began to pray and ask God's wisdom on how we could do it most effectively. And God led us to homeschool our three girls. And that was the decision that we made to do that. But there were some people, and there were some teachers, and there were some others who felt like maybe that wasn't the best decision for us to do as a family. And they began to kind of sow that seed into Lydia and Elizabeth and Lauren and encourage them as if Mama and Daddy didn't have their best interest at hand. And I can remember Stephanie telling, like, Lydia, says, look, I know your teachers and your coaches care for you, and they want to see the best for your life, but they don't love you like I love you. They don't pray for you how I pray for you. And they're not going to pray for you the way I pray for you. And I want you to always remember that. That yes, they have their ideals and they have their concepts and they have all those things, but they don't know they understand the full dynamic of where we are and what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. And they're not going to be there with you some 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road. But what I do for you today and what I'm going to do for you tomorrow and what I'm going to pray over you the next day and from here on out is going to endure with you. And I'm going to always be here with you and be here for you when they are a faint memory in your life. So they are not going to pray for you the way I've been praying for you over the years. And mamas will pray for you when everybody else has forgotten you. Amen? And praise God for that. We thank the Lord for it. Mamas will feed you when everybody else either wants to whoop you, beat you, cut you, or kill you. Are you with me? Mamas are going to make sure you're fed and taken care of. They're going to bless you. That's just what mamas do. They nurture us. Look at Proverbs 10:3. It comes from the heart of God. He said that the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to what? Famish, the righteous soul. A righteous soul is his own child. That's his. Amen. Not just by creation, but something that he's recreated. It's his, and he is not going to suffer or allow the righteous soul to famish. So a motherly nature to always feed and make sure that child is fed and fed well. When daddy says no, they don't. If they're not going to eat it, they're not going to eat another thing until they eat what you put on the plate. That can get to the heart of a mama. Are you with me? They thinking, come on now, Nick, show her a little mercy here. Be a little compassionate with her. Because Lydia was a hard head. Lydia would fight you on it. And she would last. She'd go 3 days without eating because she didn't want to eat that. And I'd say, Stephanie, don't take it off that table until she eats it. It'd be growing mold on it. And I wanted her to eat it. No, I'm just playing. We're going a little far with it. But Stephanie, on the other hand, she wanted to honor me. She wanted to follow my lead. But she wanted to make sure they were well fed, that they were taken care of. And it's just the way mamas are. Now, I like feeding folks, too. I do. I wanted them fed as well. But I had these objectives of doing something in this, but mamas will feed you when others want to kill you, when others want to cut you, when others want to hurt you. They have a way of slipping food under the door. You know what I'm talking about when you're in trouble? They're going to make sure you get things and you're taken care of and bless you that away. That's just that motherly nature. That's what God does. And I'm thankful that not only is God our Father, but man, God is a tender God. He's a gentle God. He's a compassionate God. And as the psalmist said, remember was it a couple weeks ago? Not this past Sunday, but Sunday before when we was in the Psalm 131. What did David say how he quieted his soul? He said, like a weaned child that gets up in the lap of his mother, a weaned child like mine doesn't get up in Kate's lap because he wants Kate to feed him. He gets up in her lap because he wants her like he's sitting right now. He wants her to hold him and to protect him and guard him. And he's safe in that place. He's safe in the arms of that nest with mama. And David said, God, you were like that to me. I got up in your lap and you quieted that unsettled, disturbed spirit in me. And you nurtured me and loved on me. And I didn't concern myself with things I couldn't handle. I didn't get involved in things that I didn't know much about. I knew you knew more about it than I did, so I just rested in what you know and what you can do. And that's what mamas do, like what God does for us. Mamas will protect you even when deep down in her soul she knows you can no longer be protected. She wants to protect you. She'll do everything she can, even though she knows deep down that you've done some things and put yourself in a situation that she can't protect you anymore. But she'll do everything she can. She'll spend all the money. She'll spend all her time. She'll do whatever she can to protect that little chick and take care of that baby. And I know not every mama is that away, but for the most part, that's that motherly nature and spirit within us. You see, mamas aren't perfect, but they sure seem to be close to it. Are you with me? You know how you talk about your mama? Why do we think that? Because moms in our lives are usually pleasant for the most part. Maybe not always. Persistent. Passionate. And they're usually patient with us. So their imperfections often get overlooked because they are pleasant and passionate and persistent with us. And we know they're not perfect. Y'all got a perfect mama? No, but in a way we think our mamas are perfect. We try to protect them because they've always done what? They've always protected us. It's just in the nature of it. That's just the way that we are and the way we've been wired. I like to say that moms make every day a holiday for the rest of us. I know that's the way it's always been for me. My mom always made it seem like every day was a holiday for us. Stephanie's always done that. I've watched my just different ladies around. They step in and do things us men don't do. They make life a lot simpler for us. As a helpmeet, as a mom, as a wife, they just make every day a holiday for the rest of us. And I'm grateful for that. I'm absolutely grateful for it. The other day, I was thinking about a little testimony a guy shared with me. We were about to leave to go to a wedding yesterday, or Friday, about to get in a car to head out. I was loading up clothes. And the UPS man pulled in. And I dialogue with him. We talk for a little bit. You know, I know they're on a time schedule and everything they do is monitored and watch how long they stay at a place. But he usually hang out for a minute and we talk and building some relationship with him. And he got to telling me that he come across a wreck. He said that he was coming down the highway there and he noticed the power lines down in the road. And he said as he looked out, there was a woman laying in the middle of the road. He said he parked his UPS truck, got out, ran down there, and he said, man, I was nervous. There was power lines everywhere. And that woman was out of it. Said she was laying sideways and had her hand out like this. So when I got to her, underneath her wrist was one of the power cables, a live wire. He's thinking that her arm was broke, her wrist, and it just had enough angle. He said you couldn't put a piece of paper between her wrist and that power cable. He said that she began to move like she was coming out of being knocked out. And she started moving and he said he reached down and grabbed her arm and picked it up and turned it over to get it off the top of that power cable. And you can tell just by talking with him, he's still processing all that just took place. He said that he didn't know who she was. All he could get out of her that she was a 25-year-old woman and that she was in and out the whole time he was with her. Medics came, got her picked up, and then he went the opposite direction and showed up here. But you could just sense, even in his spirit, and he's thinking on this. He's thinking, oh, man, He said, you know, I really believe God used me at the perfect timing to show up on that scene. Just one fraction of that woman moving her arm enough and touching and arcing that cable, that power line, it would have killed her right there in the middle of that road, would have burned her right there. He said, I'm telling you, it was a miracle that I showed up. And a miracle that I showed up at that very time when she is starting to come out of being knocked out and started moving. If she'd have moved just a touch, she would have hit it. And man, he was just wanting to glorify Jesus. Amen. Glorify Jesus, and couldn't help but glorify Jesus. And I just in talking with him and listening to his heart over the last year and a half, as Proverbs 10:3 says, a wise son will make a glad mama. Some mama out there raised a boy to be wise, to know what to do with what he had. That's what wisdom is to know what to do with what you know, how to put what you know to action. And he did that. He showed compassion. He could have easily backed out and turned around and went the other way and like turned his eye to it and went the other way. But he saw a need. He saw a problem. He ran to the problem and dealt with it in a way that would be a solution to it rather than a hindrance to it. He was operating in wisdom. Because some mama, some daddy, somewhere down the road, somebody taught him how to do things and do things the right way and how to look out for other people and how to be a blessing to people. Why? Because mamas are always pouring in to their boys and their girls to look beyond just themselves, to be sacrificial, to be willing to put yourself out there, to be willing to risk being hurt to help somebody else. And that boy saved that girl's life that day. And when you take these home with you and you plant something in them, or wherever you plant, just always remember, whatever we plant, it's going to grow. It's going to grow. You may not see it right now. It may take longer than some other things you plant, but eventually it's going to grow. And you can celebrate the harvest of those hard days when you was out in the yard working, when you was in those boys' and girls' life working and sowing, and you didn't see much fruit coming out of them. You was wondering, man, are they ever going to do the right thing? Sometimes we think we're raising a knucklehead. Are you with me? But you know, Solomon said, I'll write to those who are simple, who are ignorant, who just don't have a clue. I'll write to those who are fools, who think they have more than a clue than everybody else has a clue and don't want to hear the clue you got. And then I'm writing to those who are scorners, those who, when you tell them the clue you have, they don't like the clue you've got, so then they try to hurt you for the clue you tell them about. And they said, but also write it to the wise, that they may increase learning and becoming even more wise. We want to raise wise boys and girls, amen?
Amen.
That just increase in wisdom, that do little simple things, that can not only share the gospel with somebody, but help somebody out when they're hurting and in need in everyday life. Amen?
Amen?
Fruit's going to come. Just keep sowing the seed to God's glory. Father, we thank you. We bless you. I ask you to help us today. We thank you for these testimonies. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for life. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your wisdom. We want to know what to do with what we know. So teach us and make us wise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, that's a big word, surrendering all to Jesus. Look, I encourage you to do that. And if you got to do it again in an hour, surrender it all again to Him in an hour. Amen. Got to do it tonight, do it again tonight. Just keep surrendering all to Him. He says this in Proverbs 16:3. When you surrender it all to Him, He's going to establish your thoughts. And when He establishes your thoughts, He's going to establish your plans. And we want Him planning our life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, come on up here, Miles. We're going to pray over you, boy. Let me see that hand. Let's see that. It's looking better, huh? Is it feeling any better?
No.
That thing. Y'all come on up here. We'll pray over him. Let the Lord heal him up. Touch his body. Yeah. Did you get a time? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you and we pray for Myers right now. We know that his body is doing what it can to fight this infection that is in his hand. We know that you can help him with this. And we know that you have. We know that you're using doctors. We know that this medicine, these antibiotics that he's on or steroids have been a help. And we're just asking you to touch him and heal him and bless him. We pray for his parents right now that you would bless them. And that you would just look over them and meet their needs and continue to protect them and provide for Mize and raise him up. That as Psalm 144 says, that he'll mature early like plants do and that he'll be wise beyond his years. So we're asking you to continue to pour in him not only what he needs physically, but what we need to do as a body to pour in him spiritually. And we love you and we thank you for your compassion and grace with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.